stage. We'll talk about that. Now, as we think about this gift, we're going to talk about heroes and think about what does superheroes and Christmas have to do with one another. So this is we're going to talk about and save the suspense about what is this box all about. All right. So this is everyone likes gifts, right? Okay. Hey, I know I do. I like gifts. We're going to put this down here and we'll just keep this. So everybody can stare at it and see who's going to get this gift. So we'll put it right there. But that's going to be part of our prop to see what is in that box. What is that gift for? As we think about loving our church and loving God, one thing that we want to continually always stress is that we're about building a strong community, a strong church, I mean, through community service, giving, and sharing. The definition of the church is people who are called out by God for a particular purpose. This building is not the church. The people inside of the building is the church. We are the church. God came to redeem people, not buildings. So as we think about church, many people only think about church as a place where they go. I'm going to church. I'm good? I can try it now? Okay. Thank you. All right. So you guys can hear me? All right. We're good to go. All right. So awesome. So when we think about the church, some people say, well, I go to church. And, you know, we understand what that means. But what we don't want to do is just use that as a mindset that church is somewhere we go. Church is who we are. It's something that we do as believers. So when we think about church, we want to think about it as we are the church. We have been called out for a purpose, and that's to glorify our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, when I was growing up, I have to admit that I liked cartoons. Well, actually, I still like cartoons. But one thing in particular, if I was to ask you when you was growing up like cartoons, who was your favorite superhero? I mean, who was? She-Ra. I knew it. Yeah, it had to be She-Ra for you. Yeah, I knew. Yep. That makes sense now. I understand everything kind of coming together. So She-Ra. Okay. Who else? Anybody had a favorite a superhero?
Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman, right? Yeah. That's amazing. Okay, Wonder Woman. What else about? Okay, who else? Yeah, She-Ra, Wonder Woman. Who else?
Kato.
Who?
Kato.
Who? See, we know who that is. Gang, Kato. He's somebody. Is that an L.A. cartoon? Kato in the hood. Kato.
That was the introduction of Bruce Lee.
So Kato. Okay. Who? Okay. Yeah, we got Kato. Kato. Who's that guy? Okay. Okay. One more. Anybody else has a superhero? Thor, right? Okay, yeah, Thor. So we got all these we had superheroes, and said, man, and you really like, and it was something about those superheroes that you really like, right? Something about either their characteristics or their power, but it was something that you like. Now, mine coming up was Spider-Man. I like Spider-Man. Just because, Peter Parker was this guy that got bit by a spider, and things changed. I mean, his whole life changed. He had spider senses. I mean, he could see danger coming. I mean, the webs. I mean, Spider-Man became a cool guy. You know, I mean, and so when you think about your superheroes, we know that they had superpowers, right? I mean, they had superpowers. Now, when you was growing up, you probably thought you had the same superpowers they did, right? Man, I got these superpowers. But that wasn't true. So, but what made these, your superheroes, and their superpowers really made them really distinct is that they operated in a certain context. For instance, a question for you. Who is the superhero of Gotham?
Batman.
See, Batman, right? What about Metropolis?
Superman.
See? Right? So when you think about Gotham, you think about Batman, right? You know, whenever they needed something, when things jumped off in Gotham, what did the commissioner do? Shining light, right? see, I like seeing that, right? Kevin knows, man. He's on it, bro. So he shined the light, and that knew what? Hey, we needed Batman. Some either the Joker or the Riddler. Hey, we need Batman, right? So we know that the commissioner had it. When he needed something, he would call on Batman. You know, Clark Kent.
You know, everybody knows Superman now. Clark Kent, when you saw him, I mean, he's a regular old dude, man, kind of clumsy. I mean, glasses. I mean, he loved Lois Lane, but she really didn't. He was just a nerd guy, right? But you let Clark Kent find a phone booth, man, something about to jump off, right? I mean, he go in that phone booth, he come out, man, and they say, what? It's a plane?
Not a bird.
Superman, right? So we know about superheroes. And when I think about it, when I think about the church, God has given us some heroes. So the title of my sermon, we talk about loving the church, loving my church. And the title is this, Heroes of the Church. Now, before we do anything else, I want you to guess, who do you think are the heroes of the church? What do you think? Take a guess. Jesus, right? That's it. Boy, they say, when all this, I'll just say Jesus. That covers everything, Jesus, man. No, it's not, okay, he is the hero, ultimate hero, but there are some heroes, I said plural. Yeah. I didn't say the hero of the church, I said heroes. Right. One more.
Paul,
okay.
Peter.
Myself. Oh, okay, yes, sir. Well, Barry, Mr. Barry, he's a hero of the church. Wow, I didn't know, man, Barry's a hero. Man, okay. But when we think about this, here's your answer right here. Click this thing. Heroes of the church are servants. The heroes of any church is those who serve. The servants. They're the heroes. They're the one that make it happen. Those are the ones that say, man, when we need something or something goes on, the servants say, I'm there. Those are the heroes of not only this church, but any church. There are people behind the scenes that make things happen. That make things work. There were some heroes that showed up in here, not at 11:30. They showed up here at 9:30. Some heroes showed up here and made it happen. And made it where you walked in here and said, man, this is nice. This is great. Because the heroes came in and took care of business. We need more heroes. We need more heroes. There is no greater title to be called in the church than a servant. A servant. We might want many other titles, but the greatest title that all of us can dare to achieve is servant. So today we're going to talk about heroes of the church, servants, and what that looks like. And really the aim of this sermon is simply this, that when we talk about to help people, to help us identify the important role serving plays in communicating love. I said last week, we can say all we want to that we love somebody. You can. But if there's no action that goes with that, it's only words, right? Love is an action verb. So when I say I love my church, I'm talking about the people, you. And the way that I can show you that I love you is that I'm willing and I do serve you. That I serve you. That it's tangible, that I can see that the pastor is serving me, and that proves to me that he loves me. Now, I said this before. I think I said this about 2 weeks ago, and I know I probably ruffled some feathers, so I decided I'd say it again. I said this from the pulpit. I said to people this. If you say you love our church, and you are not serving our church, there's room for us to say that you're lying. There's great evidence for me to say, that's not true. Because if you can come here every day, every Sunday, and do nothing, it's hard for me to believe that you love me. It's hard to say, I love you, but I don't want to serve you. Here's another question I would like to ask you. Imagine everybody in the church was like you. Imagine if everybody that was in the church was just like you. Would our church function? Everybody was just like you, just like you. Would our church be able to make it financially if everybody gave like you? Would our church be able to have a children's ministry if everybody served like you? Would we be able to have a praise and worship ministry if everybody praise and worship like you?
I can't say.
Me, the sister. Will we have a ushers ministry if everybody served like You. See, I got you. I was coming to you. I got you. I was thinking about you. I had you wrote down. She can't sing, so she can usher. See, I had you. I had you right there. I'm with you. But just think about that. If everybody was just like me, would our church be able to make it? Because I've always said that our church would be as good, as great as you, we make it. That's true. So you need to ask yourself that question. Man, if everybody was like me, man, we'd be okay. Or, man, we'd be in trouble. And I think a lot of times we as Christians, we come to church or we join a church with this in mind. What can this church do for me? Vice coming and saying, Lord, what can I do for this church? What gifts, what abilities, what talents have you given me that I can look around in this church and say, man, I can do that. I can do that for that church. Because I love you so much and I love these people, man, I just got to do something. Imagine if everybody came in with that mentality. Man, our church would be what? It'd be awesome. So we want to continue to say that when we say we love our church, that we don't use love the way the world uses it, so haphazardly, so flippantly. That really doesn't mean anything. We want to say when we say we love our church, we agape our church. That's unconditional, sacrificial love. Heroes of the church are servants. And my goal and my prayer is that you would want to be a hero in our church, that you want to be a servant. So we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. And also we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verse 3 through 8. But I call your attention to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. We're going to read that this morning. So when you find 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7, I invite you to stand with us, please, as we honor the word. First Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 7. It reads as follows. Now there are different gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it's the same God who empowers them all and everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. I'm going to read verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another the working of miracles. To another prophecy. To another the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another various kinds of tongues. To another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let us pray. Eternal Father, speak to our hearts today through your word. May we all desire to be heroes, service to one another. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Heroes of the church. Servants. And also putting your outline, and I wanted to, this is the main crux of the sermon is this. Part of loving your church is being the hero God has made you to be. God has made you a hero with superpowers. If you are a Christian born again, you have superpowers. God's giving you superpowers. He said, well, I look ordinary. Well, Clark Kent did too. But he has superpowers. You have superpowers. If you were born again, if you were a Christian, you have superpowers. And unfortunately, many of us don't use our superpowers. We don't even know that we have them. We think, I'm just ordinary. I'm just ordinary person. That's why I said that what does superheroes and Christmas have to do with one another. We're talking more about that. Just stay with me. So when we think about superpower, we say, what do you mean when you say, I have a superpower? I'm glad you asked. Point one is this. You have superpowers, and they are called spiritual gifts. They are called spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul was talking about the Corinthians, how he was telling them that they had spiritual gifts different from one another, and that those gifts were to be used for the glory of God. So you have superpowers, spiritual gifts. When you were born again, God gave you a gift. Now, I want to distinguish before we keep going on, the difference between a talent and a spiritual gift. Talents come from your mom and daddy. It may be genetically, it comes from your mama and your daddy. You know, just like, hey, you know, when you think about the whiniest, what do you think about? Singing, right? Really. When you think about Peyton Manning, what do you think about? Quarterbacks, right? Archie Manning breeds quarterbacks. That's just a gift that means they have that natural tendency to be able to do that, right? Athletes. So there are certain talents that you have that genetically been given to you by your mom or your dad, someone down the line. You can trace it back. Man, this is where it comes from. Superpowers. Now, when we say about natural ability, we know that God gives us that, but this is different. A spiritual gift means that it is something that you did not have naturally, that God gave it to you when you became a Christian. He supernaturally gave you this gift that your mama didn't give it to you. You couldn't buy it. God gave it to you. It's something that is from him and belongs to him, that he has given you. It is a power, but it's a superpower. For instance, I tell people all the time that before I became a Christian, I do not like speaking in public before people. I'm an introvert. I don't like large crowds. But when I became a Christian, God gave me a superpower, a gift, the ability to communicate his truth to large masses of people. Now, I didn't like to do that. I don't want to speak before people. Matter of fact, if I was not on stage, I would be somewhere relaxing. But when I come to church and I walk on stage, I open my Bible and I begin to feel like I'm in my natural habitat. That this is where I belong. This is what God made me to preach his word. This is what I have been called to do. And a superpower means this. You would do it if no one paid you to do it. I would do it. Couldn't help myself. I remember Charles Swindoll said this. He says, he always tells preachers and pastors this, when they say they've been called to the ministry. He says this. He tells them, okay, have you really been called? Well, yeah. He says, okay. Would you feel comfortable doing something else if it wasn't preaching? I said, yeah, I can see myself doing that. And he said, would you feel comfortable doing that? He said, well, go do that. He said, no, go do that. It's because what God's looking at you to do, the fact that you wouldn't feel comfortable doing nothing else but preaching. Because he says when it gets tough, the thing you can see yourself doing, you're going to go do that. You're going to go run to that because you say, hey, I can do that and I can be okay. But when it gets tough, you're going to say, I can't help but preach. You'd be like, Paul, woe is me if I preach not the gospel. As if I don't preach it, something's going to happen to me. That I might as well die, because that's how God's created me. So when you have a superpower, it is something that God has given you, your mama has given to you, like for Samson. Everybody, now when we look at Samson, we draw pictures of Samson. How does Samson look? He looked muscled up and he looked cut up, right? I mean, in our own image, right? Long hair with muscles, right? But I don't believe that's how Samson looked. Because people always ask him, where does his power come from? He don't look that strong. He looked just like an ordinary person, but man, Samson's carrying gates and killing folks, a whole bunch of people. Where do you get that power from? That's what we want to say, that when we think about our lives, our power comes from God. And I believe that many times we misquote a lot of scriptures, and one that we always use as preachers, we say, well, the man robbed God. And you only hear that, when do you ever hear that? During the offering time, will a man rob God? How have you robbed him? You robbed him in tithes and offerings, right? Now, I have another slant to that. I believe many of us Christians, we rob God. But it's not with our money. We rob God of his glory. Because we do not use the gift he has given us. And when you and I do not use the gift God has given us, we are robbing him of his glory. And God wants glory from you and I. He has left us here to give him glory. And when I do not use my gift, if I say to you, I am no longer going to preach anymore, I am done. I am robbing God of his glory. And when you don't use your gift that God's given you, you are robbing God of his glory. And God wants to be glorified in you and through your life. So when we think about this, when you talk about this church or any church, are you serving? Are you a hero? Are you giving God glory? You have a superpower, a spiritual gift. Now, there are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. It's very important. Number one is this. God is the one who picked yours. That's very important. Because sometimes we go what I call, we go gift hate. I really want his. I want hers. How come I can't get that gift? Why can't I sing like that? We do. We really compare and say, now, because the problem with the Corinthian churches, what were they doing? They were having issues about spiritual gifts. And it was causing division. Because they were saying that you're not as important as I am because I have this gift. You don't have that gift. And so you're really not as important as I am. And so everybody started jockeying for position, and they start making up stuff. Everybody started coming because everybody wanted to prophesy. So he said, you know what? I have a word from the Lord, too. They started making up stuff. Then what was the biggest issue in 1 Corinthians? What was the gift that everybody wanted? What was it? So then guess what happened? They started making up stuff. They started babbling. They start coming on a Honda. They start making it up. Because they said that if I'm not as spiritual as he is, so or she is, so if I see him doing it, her doing it, so I'm going to come here and start doing it too. And then they were making people who didn't do that feel less than important. And Paul said, that's not right. Amen. That is not right. Everyone does not have the gift of speaking in tongues. That's not true. Or the gift of healings, or the gift of this. And notice what I would tell people, no one never said, argue about, have you raised somebody from the dead lately? But the Bible says there are gifts of what? Healing. We never ask that person. We always say, hey, have you spoken in tongues lately? But we don't say, well, have you healed somebody today? But we think about those things, right? So when we think about that, God picked out your gift. God has supernaturally given you what he wants you to have. So that means that if God picked out your gift, that means he has a purpose for your life, and he wants you to glorify him in your life through the church. Amen? Not only this, it is a spirit-empowered gift. Spirit-empowered gift. The Holy Spirit empowers you to use the gift he has given you. He empowers you. Some people say, yeah, it's just that God continually to give you that. You can be tired. But when it's time to use that gift, God gives you his strength, right? He gives you the strength and the power and the courage to do it and say, he empowers you. Not by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God empowers us to do his will. So if God is giving me a gift, and then God says, not only have I given you a gift, I'm going to empower you to use that gift, then what excuse do I have for not using the gift God's given me? None. So God has given everyone, if you are a believer, he has given you a gift, he has empowered you, he wants you to use it. And many people have no idea when you ask them, what's your spiritual gift? What's my who? They don't know. I believe that the body of Christ functions best when we know what God has given us and we use that gift properly. The body functions, the human body functions, when every part does what it has been created to do. The body of Christ will function properly when everyone would do what God has created and empowered you to do. Now, we talked about the two really important things to remember. Now, there are three ways you can discover your gifting. the three ways that you can discover your gift. He said, well, I don't know what my gift is. Number one is this. Experiment in serving. Do something. Like Nike said, just do it. Do something. You hear people say, you know, hey, why aren't you serving? Well, I don't feel called to. Do nothing? Well, let me help you out. Let me tell you what to do. Let me help you. We need somebody to do that. So go try that. You know, experiment. There's nothing wrong with experiments. Okay, I don't know what my gift is, but okay, I will try this. There's nothing wrong with that. To experiment and say, you know what, let me try something. Now, for those of you, this is true. This happened. Before I was ever preaching, you know, I used to lead worship. Now, I can't sing. See, my wife busts out laughing. That's how she do it, brother. But I did used to lead worship, right? Now, people, how did you get caught doing that? How did you get up there and start leading anybody, leading some worship? Simple and plain. This is how it happened. Nobody was doing it, and the pastor needs somebody to do it. So I said, okay, I'll give it a try. You know what? I didn't know any better. I just believed that when I got saved, that if something needed to be done in the church, nobody would do it. I figured I'd at least try it. You know what? God honored that. Because he seen my heart. I was willing to experiment. I would at least try to do it. Man, I did something else in the church. I used to teach little kids in the church. I didn't like doing it, but I did it because it needed to be done. I didn't feel called to do it. But somebody called me. My pastor called me and said, I need you to teach. And so I did it. I just believed that if he asked me to do something, that was the right thing to do. So I did it. Didn't I teach youth? Didn't feel called to teach youth. But we had some teenagers, so somebody needed to do it. So I experimented. Then all of a sudden, I feel like God's called me to the ministry. So I tell the pastor, hey, I think God's called me to preach. And he says to me, okay, well, we'll see. I knew what that meant. Like, what's me? We'll see. He said, well, October 1st, you're preaching in about 3 weeks. I'm like, what? But in the meantime, he said, won't you go and join the choir? I'm like, man, I can't sing. But guess what? He said, well, we need you up there. So I joined the choir. Seriously. Now, the reason why I'm telling you all is to tell you this. Many people believe in their mind sometimes that when they see me up there, that was the first thing I ever did. I just started preaching. But I went through a lot of things. God used me in many ways. And I never asked you to do anything that I have not done, I would not do. I would never ask you to do anything that I have not done. I would never ask you to do that. And I have done it. And God has honored that in my life. He said, you've been faithful with a few things, I'll put you in charge over many. But many people like to go from the pew to the pulpit. They haven't done, they haven't served. They haven't taught no kids. They ain't took no trash out. They ain't vacuumed no floor. They want to go from there to right here. That's not how it works in God's economy. You be faithful and you serve people. The God said, if you be faithful with few things, I'll put you in charge over many people. And that's my story. And that's how it happened in my life. And that's why I don't mind serving the church. Because all I've seen and read my Bible, when I've seen Jesus put a towel around himself and wipe people's feet, how could I not serve when my Savior did the same thing? And then told me, I've given you an example of what you should do. See, that's putting the Bible and applying it to your life. So when we think about serving, I want you to say experiment in serving. And when you experiment in serving in some capacity, you eventually, God will lead you to where he wants you to go. Because he said, I see you've been faithful. I see your heart. I'm going to lead you and guide you. So the second thing is this. Ask others. Ask other people this. What do you see in me? Or what do you need me to serve? You know the best question you can ever ask a pastor? You know the best question you can ever ask me? What can I do, Pastor? What do you need from me? Where the church can I help? That's the best question you can ever ask me. And I guarantee you always get an answer. I never say, I don't know. I tell you. Because we need people to be heroes in our church. We need people to serve in our church. So ask others, hey, what do you need? Or what do you see in me? I remember one time that when I first taught a Bible study, my pastor was going out of town. He was Bible coach, so he said, "Hey, I got to go. It's Wednesday night Bible study. I need somebody to teach Bible study." And he said, "Hey, what are you doing?" I'm thinking, I mean, I'm not gonna say no, but I'm like, "But yeah, but what I teach about?" He said, "Well, let's teach about what you know." I said, "Okay." So my first Bible study was on faith. It was. It took faith for me to teach a Bible study. Now, here I am. It really did. So I figured, okay, I'm going to go with what's going to have to help me get through this. And I used this acronym, and this is how I taught faith. I said, "Forsaking all, I trust him." And I used that acronym and taught a Bible study. Forsake all, I trust him. In order to have faith, you got to forsake all and trust God. And so I taught that Bible study, and the people are so gracious to me. I just, a couple of scriptures here and there. I mean, I'm pretty sure I misquoted a couple of them, but when I finished, I said, "Hey, that's all I got." We prayed, and that was it. And I said to myself, "Boy, I'm so glad that's over with." Then this lady came up to me and said, "Man, I learned so much today." I'm like, "Really? You actually learned something from what I said?" She said, "I learned a lot from what you taught." I'm thinking, okay, thanks. But that's how it started. And then as I continued to do this, the lady came up to me and told me one time, "Man, you should be a teacher. I think you have the gift of teaching." She said, "I think you have the gift of teaching. But ask other people." So I asked my parents, "What do you think? Can I teach the Bible?" He said, "Man, people told me you did a pretty good job, so I think you should think about that." So you want to experiment, ask others, and they'll tell you. Because I ask people in this church, "Hey, you think I can join the choir?" They tell me no. They do. They say, "No, Pastor, you can't. You just stick with what you do. We got this. You cannot join the choir." So I just, okay. I ask somebody, say no. Don't get mad. I'm just, "Oh, thank you." Here's something else. Check your energy level. Think about check your energy level. The key word I look for, it starts with a P, is passion. What are you passionate about when it comes to God? What is your passion? What drives you? What moves you? I mean, what are you passionate about? Because what we want, I just believe that God's people should be passionate about God's word. I just believe that. We should be passionate about God's word. You should be passionate that the God of the universe would call you to be a part of his kingdom building project. And that he would pick you and give you a gift and then empower you to do it. You should be passionate about that. I don't see how Christians are not passionate about the work of the Lord. I'm passionate about it. So check your energy level. If you say, "Oh, yeah, I want to do it, but I really don't feel like it, but I do it. He asked me to do it, and I'm just sick of this, and I just can't wait till it's over." Is that a passionate person? It isn't. It's not. So if you're not passionate about doing something, maybe that is not for you. Maybe that particular thing is not for you. But listen, please don't give me, "I'm not passionate about nothing." If you're not passionate about nothing, you need to go back and check your born-again date. Go say, have I really been empowered by God? Have I ever been born again? But be passionate. Check your energy level. Now, do we get tired sometimes physically? Yes. But remember I said, now, who empowers you? The Spirit. There were times when Jesus was tired. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 4 that he was tired and weary and he sat by a well. But something happened. He saw a woman come to get water. And what happened to him? He got empowered by the Spirit. He said something, "Give me some water." Begin to minister to her so much that when the disciples came and offered him some food, what did he say? "I'm not even hungry because I have food that you know not." In other words, I am full. I have been empowered because I am doing the will of God. See, when you are doing God's word, you are always full. I am full. I am filled because I am doing God's will. See, I have passion and I have purpose. Do you have passion and purpose? Are you passionate about the work of God? See, God will give you a passion for something. I'm passionate about seeing people walk victoriously in Christ. That's my passion. I am passionate to see people live a victorious life. I get tired of seeing Christians live defeated Christian lives. I want you to be victorious in your life in Jesus' name, because Jesus says, I come to give you life and life more abundantly. I am passionate about that. I want you to experience that, because I want to walk in victory and abundance and power, and I want you to do it. Nothing bothers me to see you walking in defeat. You don't have to. If you are a child of God, you do not have to walk in defeat. You don't. God has overcome everything in your life that you are going through. You have been victorious in Jesus Christ, and you need to walk in that victory every day of your life. You are victorious. Amen?
Amen.
So check your energy level. Paul talks about that. Now, when we think about, we have superpower spiritual gifts, you have a superpower team. You do. It's called the church. We're a team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. The key word is together. And everyone. Not some of you. Everyone, right? We got to be together and everyone. That means, I want you to know, as your pastor, I value you. You are important to me, to God, to this kingdom, and to this church. Everyone in here, you are important. We need you. You are somebody here. You may be a nobody out there, but you're somebody when you come in here. You are important to us, and we need you. The team only functions when everyone knows what its position and role is, and we fulfill that. Now, one of the greatest movies that just came out, I know that we've seen before, is The Avengers. Now, The Avengers, what they do? The Avengers, they have different people up there. What y'all laughing at? Oh. You see these Captain America, Thor, and all, you know, Hulk and Iron Man, and that handsome guy over there. I mean, these guys, man, I mean, listen, they have different gifts, but they all came together to do what? To save the world. From Ultron, right? The Age of Ultron. They came together. Now, did they all get along? No, but they all different personalities. But when they came together, they said, we got to do something. We got to unite to defeat, to save the world, right? We're a team. And God has left us here, you and I. We are Avengers, man, beyond the walls. We have been chosen to come together to do what? To save the world. That's why we're here. We're Avengers, man, I'm telling you. That's good stuff. That's good stuff. That's who we are. Paul talked about that. We are a team. And I want you to know this. We talk about our team. Your gift was not given to you for you. That's the next point. Your gift was not given to you for you. Can't be selfish in the body of Christ. God has given you a gift not for you, but for other people. I want you to turn to Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Romans chapter 12, verse 3. Your gift was not given to you for you. Romans chapter 12, verse 3 says this. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and the members do not have all the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. See, that's key. Let us use our gifts. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith. If service, in our serving. The one who teaches, in his teaching. the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, and the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. What he says, we are many members, but one body. Many gifts, but we have one mission. So when we think about this, is that my gift was not given to me for me. My gift was given to me for you. And your gift was given to you for the body, for me. So when you don't share your gift, when you don't do what God's called you to do, you are robbing God and you're cheating me from being blessed by you. Amen. Think about that. If you come to church and you don't use your gift, you are cheating the body of Christ from being blessed by you. Right. It's more blessed to give than to receive. You can always give someone encouragement, or you can serve someone, you can teach someone, you can use your gift that God's given you, give it away. Give your gift away. And that's why it's so important when we think about serving, we think about we should serve internally our church. We should come in here serving one another. The thing about this, really what it means is that I need you and you need me. We are better when we're together, and we're better because you're here. See, when we think about that, when we think about we're better because that the church is better because of you here, then you continue to want to serve. You want to do something. So your gift is not for you. It's for me. And my gift is for you. It'd be crazy for me to get up every morning, dress up, and get in front of a mirror and preach to myself. All right, turn your Bible, Dimitri. Right? You would check me into some of the white jacket on. Brother got issues. But the gift is for the body. Not only that, letter B is this. We have different gifts because we need one another. We need one another. We're different, but we're one. We have the same Father, the same Lord, same Spirit. We're one, but we're different. But God's blessed us because we need one another. You need me, I need you. And that's why I always say, you cannot be a victorious Christian. If you are a Christian born again, you cannot be a victorious Christian apart from being a part of a local gathering of believers. Say, I can be a Christian and not go to church. Yeah, you can. But you won't be a victorious one. But God has created you to be a part of a local body of believers to use your gift, to give back, to say, I have a gift from God. I'm going to use it internally for the people of God. Then externally, I want to use it for the community we live in. Now, we talked about the adventures, and you saw the picture. It was great on yesterday. We got together, our connection group, and we got together because a lady had called and said she needs some help from Relay for Life. They know how to put this event on. Say, hey, you guys helped us out last year. Could you please help us out again? And so we came yesterday, showed up, helped them out. And she was so grateful. She said, I'm just about to cry. You guys helped us out. I don't know what we would have did, right? It's a great time, wasn't it? Now I'm going to show you a picture of the other Avengers, the heroes. Let's show you this picture right here. Click to it. Now that's the Avengers. See? That happened on yesterday. We went to Relay for Life and we helped out Great Oak, helped them to put on a really event for those who have gone through cancer, those who are fighting cancer, who have lost the fight, those who are survivors. We went out there to be a part of that and to help them out. So when we think about that, there are people who came out and gave of their time to serve our community. And that's what it's about. We serve internally one another, and we serve externally our community. I said that I believe that beyond the walls, if we don't bless our community, something's wrong with us. Why are we here if a church is not to be the salt and the light and the blessed people? And there's so many Christians who do nothing. They don't serve internally. They don't serve externally. And that's why I said what we want to do is be a church that just love God and love people. How do we say we love people? We serve people. We serve that community, and they tangibly felt the love of God yesterday from us. That's so important that we do those things. So we think about this. If our community needs something, could they call us and would we respond? We should say yes. We respond because God loves people and we love people. And when they think about beyond the walls, they're able to say, man, that church helped us out and we was in need. And they helped us out. That truly means I love my church. That's what it's all about. It's about action. All right? So now we talk about something else. You have a superpower team. I'm sorry. This superpower team has a community and a city in need. That community was in need. They needed some help, and we helped them out. God has put you to be a part of a team, the church, because our community and our city needs Jesus. They do. They really do. Why do you think God tells us that we are the light of the world, the salt of the earth? Why? Because people need God. They really do. And when we think about that, that's why we've been left here. To glorify God, to serve people, and to reach people for Jesus Christ. Because every community and city needs God. That's the point I put up in Alert 8. Because every community needs God. There's not a community that doesn't need God. I don't care if we talk about, well, you know, we live in the Inland Empire, Temecula, Marietta, Lake Arizona, and it's so beautiful out here, beautiful homes and all those things. It doesn't matter. There are sinners in those homes too. So we can't get to this point that we have these nice neighborhoods and everything is manicured, and man, this is so great out here and great schools. People are still dying and going to hell. I don't care whether they in the suburbs, urban areas, in the ghetto, everybody needs Jesus. So we can't think because we live in a nice neighborhood that, hey, it's safe here, it's okay. They need Jesus too. And we understand that we understand that when we understand that we're part of a team, we understand that our team is supposed to serve our community and our city for Jesus Christ. That's what it's about, serving him. And the question we want you to do here, we want you to come here and to be equipped and empowered to serve internally and externally. That's why we talk about our discipleship process. We want you to come and see, come and connect, and come and serve. If you are a member of Beyond the Walls, you should be serving at some point. It might take you a while, but at some point you can say, man, I have been here too long. I am empowered. I am passionate. I'm going to serve these people because I love God and love them. What can I do? And that's what it's about. I don't believe that a church should only be served by 10% of the people. I don't believe that 10% of the people should do 100% of the work. I don't believe that. That's bad math. I believe that 100% of the people should do 100% of the work. I don't believe that 20% of the people should give financially to support our church while 80% does nothing. I don't believe that's good math. I don't believe that's right. I don't believe that honors God. I don't believe God's glorified in that. God's glorified when together everyone accomplishes more. We gather together and we do things for the glory of God. And we sacrifice and we pray and we share with one another. Can we imagine what God can do if we did that in our church? There wouldn't be a need that we ever had in this church because every need that we have, God has already met that need in the form of a person here. God would not have brought you to our church if he was not going to meet your needs in this church. God would not have brought you to this church if he was not going to accomplish his will and purpose and mission through you in this church. God would not have brought you here. He sent you somewhere else. But if God brought you, he said, I brought you here for a reason so you can now be not only be empowered and use your gifts here and you can be equipped to serve. Isn't that the goal? I pray that your goal is to say that I want to come in here and be equipped and I want to be a servant. I want to get my hands dirty. I want to be like Jesus. I want to be like Jesus. The picture of him with a towel wrapped around him, with a bucket of water, on his knees, washing feet. That's a picture of our Savior. Now, that's a picture we don't like to see, like to have in our mind, but that's what he did. And that's what he calls us to do. So when we think about that, the community needs Jesus. People in here need Jesus. They need him. So my conclusion is this. Discover the gifting God has empowered you with. Discover the gifting God has empowered you with. Serve this church. Not that church down the road, this church. Because you're here. This is your family. You serve this church. This is your church. These are people you love. You serve it. Serve this church and this community the way God made you with the gifts he's given you. Be a hero for Jesus. Be a Wonder Woman for Jesus. Be a Shiro for Jesus. Be a cat for Jesus, whatever that is. Cain, whatever it is, Cain, Kato, whatever, Thor. Be a hero for Jesus. So at the end of the day, when it's time for you to go meet the Savior, or he comes and he brings us back, you're going to hear him say, well done, thy good and faithful what? Servant. Well done. You did good. You used every gift that I've given you for my glory. Many of us, we like gifts, right? Amen. I like gifts. I do, too. Christmas is about gifts. I mean, it's about Jesus, but you know what I mean. We give gifts. How would you feel if you wrapped up, you took your time to go out and find a gift that someone wanted? You went out and you shopped, spent your money, and you wrapped it up, and you did out a nice little bow, and you did all this, and you gave it to somebody. He said, this is for you. And the person took the gift and put it up under the seat and said, I get to it later. Went on about their day. You say, hey, aren't you going to open the gift? I mean, it's something you like. Aren't you going to open it? Nah, I'm kind of too busy. I get to it later. How'd you feel? Honestly, how'd you feel if someone did that to you? You're a little irked, right? Like, man, really? Week goes by. Hey, have you opened your gift up? No, I haven't really had time. Months go by. Hey, did you like what I got you? I forgot all about that. I haven't even been so busy. A year goes by. Hey, have you? It's still there. It's collecting dust. I'm so sorry, but I will get to it when I can. Now, you said that makes you feel like, man, I would be hot, right? When you get no feet. Come this Christmas, hey, tree's empty. Up under, hey, you get nothing. That's an honest answer, right? But think about it. How do you think God's feel? That's how we have a gift, but we haven't opened it up. We just put it up. I'm too big. I got too much stuff going on to open the gift God's given me and to glorify him. Because how we say we thank God for what he's done for us, we serve God's people. So when I really say I thank God for saving me, you know how I say that? I serve. I do something for his glory. And many people, God's gift, they forgot about it, haven't opened it up. Now, one thing is right that Gary said. You won't get nothing else from me. If you don't use God's gift, it'll be there, but it'll shrink up. You won't be empowered. You won't live victoriously. And you're wondering why, man, how that person got saved after me? And man, he's further down the road than me. You know why? Open the gift up quickly and started using it. Many people come to church every day, every Sunday, and their gift is still hadn't been opened. And they're wondering why they're not living a victorious Christian life. And God is saying, you won't get no more from me. Thanks, Gary. You won't get no more from me. You haven't been faithful over a few things. You're not faithful. You're unfaithful. And this is going to sound even harsh. You're very ungrateful. See, that's harsh if you mean to say, you're ungrateful. Because you won't even serve me what I've given you. And I think it's high time for Christians to really stop giving people and God lip service. It's time we stop giving people and God lip service. God wants action. Like J. Vernon McGee said, you amen a sermon with your feet, amen. Not with your mouth.
Amen.
You amen it with your feet, you do something. So today, will we give God our heart? Will we truly surrender our lives to him? Will we stop giving God lip service? God, I love you. I thank you. But there's no, he said, but there's no action. I hear what your mouth is in a whole bunch, but your heart is far from me. Your heart is way from me. But you say you love me, but your heart, I don't have your heart. Because whoever has your heart, you're passionate about. Whoever you have your heart, you serve, right? Man, if you're passionate about your wife, what you going to do? You're going to serve your wife, right? Ladies, are you passionate about your husband? You're going to serve your husband, right? What you're passionate about, you're going to do. Are you passionate about Jesus? Surrender your life to him. Truly surrender to him. Not saying, I've been saved 20 years ago. It don't mean anything to me. What are you doing today for Jesus? What are you doing tangibly today for Jesus who saved you 20 years ago? The God who saved me 17 years ago, I'm still serving him today. Today I'm serving my Lord and Savior because I love my Lord and I love my church. Amen? Let us pray. Father, we are grateful for you loving us. And I pray, God, that in the name of Jesus, that there's someone here today who doesn't know your son, that today would be the day of salvation. God, we know that you sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins because, God, we all need forgiveness. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And, God, you promised to save us if we just would believe in Jesus Christ. And then, God, when we believe and surrender our life to him, that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to be born again and to not only be born again to live for you, but to serve you. God, I pray, God, that if someone here today who does not know Jesus Christ, that today would be the day of salvation. That they would not leave here not knowing you. So with every head bowed and eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ, that you're not saved, you haven't given God your, you maybe gave him lip service, but you haven't given him your heart. If you're here today and you say, this is the day I'm going to stop giving God lip service, I'm going to give him my heart through my actions, I'm going to surrender to him. If you're here today and you have not done that, right where you are, say, Pastor, I surrender to Jesus today. I surrender to him. I'm not going to live in defeat, I'm going to surrender to him. If that's maybe you today, just say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender to Jesus. Right where you are, raise your hand. I can pray for you. God, help us to do your will. And maybe you are a Christian today, but you say, I'm not serving God. I don't have passion. I'm not doing it from the body of Christ. But today, I want to open up my gift. I want to unwrap my gift. I want to open it, and I want to be empowered to use it. Maybe that's you. And maybe you said today, God, I surrender to you. I hear you speaking to me. I know what you've called me to do. Here I am. Use me. If that's you, and you believe God is using you to serve him, he's calling you to you surrender to him. Right where you are, I want you to raise your hand. We want to pray for you. So that's me, Pastor. I need to surrender. Amen. I see that hand. Will there be any more? Say, that's me. Amen. I see that hand. Father, we thank you for this time. We pray, oh God, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will be the heroes of the church, serving the greatest hero, Jesus Christ. That just like he was a servant, we want to be a servant also. God, you said in your word that we cannot be greater than our teacher, but we can be just like him. A servant is not greater than his master. So God, we bow to you. And we ask your blessings upon our church family. Thank you for everyone here who serves faithfully, sacrificially. Thank you for that. Bless them. I pray for those also, God, who are going to begin the process of serving. Encourage them and empower them. In Jesus' name, amen.